This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, it's number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat, brought to you from the Patio Studios, and of course, as always, brought to you by our good friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. Special thanks, as always, go out to my man Randy Green and his continued support of Two Birds on a Bat. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green and the group at InnovatedCompanies.com have you covered. They've got the construction team, the heating and cooling team, the electric team, and now the plumbing team fired up and ready to help you get your job done. Quality work. Quality amount of time, and of course, money well spent. That's with Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, here we are. Winter time is here. Off season for St. Louis, anyway, a little sluggish, but it has picked up steam thanks to the crazy man out in Seattle that has basically traded away almost every player he has that's worth a damn, except for Honiger at this point. There's a few more there that would be intriguing. But that being said, I must say, things have definitely started to heat up, if that's the word you want to use. We got GM meetings in Vegas. I expect some things to really get rolling here. That being said, will St. Louis be on the outside looking in again? You're hearing a lot of Bryce Harper talk, and that's who everybody wants. But, you very rarely hear the Cardinals' name mentioned. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, maybe we all want him so much more than we want him so much more than everybody else, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But with the GM meetings, not too far away here, I would say things are starting to heat up as far as, preparation and things like that. Now, that being said, there is some talk heating up about the Cardinals possibly in stronger trade negotiations with Paul Goldschmidt. So, a move that I wasn't keen on at first, but gosh darn it, I got to be honest with you, man. I can't look at what that guy's done offensively for the, every year and not sit here and go, how does that not make us a whole lot better when you can plant that guy in the three hole every day? Now, I understand the thoughts of Carpenter playing third and blah, 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 but I will tell you that, the Cardinals could do a whole lot worse than to come away from the offseason with Paul Goldschmidt as the hitter that they went and got. So we'll see what happens. I have no clue what's going to happen. I don't, we all think we know what's going to happen, but I think if time has told us anything, we don't really have a clue. But the topic of today's conversation is really going to be about, I can't, listen, I'm not mad and I'm not like upset with people over this, like them personally, but I'm confused to no end about the people that don't want to spend the money on guys. I don't get it. I don't understand it. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. I also saw an unbelievable, 30-second or one-minute clip of Max Scherzer with his idea about how to speed up the game and make it more exciting. And then somebody, a listener that I like that I see tweet a lot, sent me something about Bill James had come up with this idea. It's about eliminating having to pause for when a pitcher comes set when there's a base stealer on, and That makes no sense to me. You're going to completely eliminate the running game. You're not going to be able to take good secondary leads. I don't understand what they're doing. I have no idea how they came up with this idea. We're going to talk about it today. I'm going to talk about it with, you know, a two-time Gold Glove catcher and ask him what he thinks. How many guys would have stole on him if the pitcher didn't have to come set? Guys would never run. The odds are already so low to steal a base anyway that if the pitcher didn't have to come set, I don't know how you're going to steal a base. So anyway, let's welcome in on the m4byyachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good. I was listening to every possibility that you threw out there, man. I love the idea of Paul Goldsmith, not only on the hitting part, but the defense that he brings. And Cart moving to third. So what? We had Jose Martinez at first. We had Jericho playing short. We had guys out of position almost every day last year. So why, last season, why do we worry about Cart playing third? So I'll take Goldsmith any day, man. I love the idea of having Harper, you know, Nelly making a pitch, you know, with him. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that was something.
That was pretty cool, though. I mean, that those things, believe it or not, those things helps, man. Those things helps, you know, and he made his pitch. So now it's up to Harper to make a decision later on whenever he has to, and hopefully it's us, man. I mean, that'll change us for real, a lefty bat, you know. So that'll be good. And talking about that running game, Jimbo, they should leave it just how it is. It's not about stealing a bag or not stealing a bag, because most of the time, Jimbo, in these days, it's guessing. Because the sign comes from the dugout, and if you don't get a sign from the dugout, you pitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like before, where Josh Gibson, whenever he saw him getting a big lead, he threw the first. Whenever Maddox saw the guy getting a big lead at first, he threw the first. It's not like that anymore. The coach call for the pickoff play, and if he doesn't call a pickoff play, he throws home. So it's actually easier to steal a bag these days if you can guess it right. Of course, I'm not saying it's easy, because I will not steal a bag ever, but I'm just saying, like, it's easier in a way that you just guess.
Well, what
you
I was
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if you're the base stealer, you know, and you know, when you start to take your lead, if you know, right now, when the pitcher gets the sign, as he comes set, he doesn't have to stop. He can actually come all the way up and step off and throw at you. So if you're a base stealer and you don't know if he's going to do that or just as soon as he comes down and throws home, you'll never get a jump. You'll never be able to steal a base.
Yeah, you're right.
Never.
It's ours.
You guys are so good and so I mean, I tell you what, it's amazing to me when you watch the play from behind home plate when you throw out a runner, how close the runner actually is when the catcher receives the ball. And how fast it gets down to second base and the tag is made. I mean, it's the skill. It's the actual skill that stops the base stealer. I mean, it's you guys are just so good at it. Now, the truth is, imagine not being able to get a jump. Guys would get the odds are already low. You would just completely eliminate it. And you really couldn't take a great secondary. Because you would, it's just, I see, I don't think people that think that you could
really,
do this.
You really think it would change time in baseball?
Well,
You might not even have a runner.
Well, what it would change is you wouldn't have to throw over because nobody's going to steal. You wouldn't have very many hit and runs because you couldn't get a great jump.
You don't throw over most of the time anymore because all the guys don't believe in these days. They don't believe in stealing bases. They don't believe in bunting. They don't believe in hit and run. So you won't change much, man. I bet you anything you won't change. The things that they need to change is the replay. You know, I always said it. The first seven innings, first six innings, no replay. And it's not, I know it can change the game, like you always say, Jim. I get it. I know that. The first inning can change the game. You know, I get that. But if you want to change the time, is what I mean, well, get the first six innings, no replay. And then the last three, then we'll have it or something like that. But oh, get it. Take it off. Let's play the game how it was. You know, things like that. And then you have this is what I don't understand. The hitter can call timeout and get off the batter's box and whatever, calling timeout, but the pitcher cannot do it. The hitter can go and get Pintar, call timeout, get Pintar, but the pitcher cannot get off the bag. The only thing he has is a Rosen bag, which I get it. But you see what I mean? It's already one-sided. They're trying to make the league a hitting league so everybody, you know, enjoys the game. I was talking to some fans the other day, and they don't like the 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2 games. They don't like those. And I'm like, why not? Those are well-pitched games. They're really interesting. We win, we move on to the next guy. Maybe the next game it's a 10-1 game. But we won. But they don't like that. So that's what the MLB, I think, is trying to do. It's trying to move the game to a hitting league and, you know, make it fun for the fans. But they forget about the pitching. Think about it, Jimbo. We cannot pitch inside anymore without giving up a warning.
No, I agree.
So is that in favor of the pitcher or the hitter? I think it's the hitter.
Well, sure, yeah. Because if you don't have to cover the inside part of the plate.
Yeah, you just have to reach outside, look outside, and see if you can connect over there because the pitcher's kind of being careful. Even if the pitcher goes inside, the ball can move to the middle. All right, that's one thing. Another thing that you see that I see a lot is with the hitters. They wear bodyguards. They wear bodyguards, elbow guard, chin guards. I did it. I did the elbow, but I got broken elbow. It was different. But anyways, I would not use it if I didn't have to. But these guys are wearing it for fun. And, you know, like for looks or whatever. They never get hit in the ankles, but they wear it. So what is the pitcher wearing out there? He's not throwing with the net. He's not wearing anything. You know what? When you don't wear elbow guard and ankle brace, whatever you call it, chin guard, you don't swing the same because you know the inside part. I don't want to get hit in the elbow. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the hitter already is like, oh, if I get hit in the elbow, I have an elbow guard. I don't have to. So they're diving in because the pitcher has to stay away or find another way. Take that elbow guard away, not the face one. The face one's very serious. But the elbow and the ankle, take it away, and you'll see more guys not hitting the ball well because they don't want to be hitting the elbow when Matt Bumgarner or somebody's pitching. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's they're already making it a hitter's friendly league, and they still want to make it more friendly for the hitter, and they forget about the pitching. So, I mean, they have so many ways, so many things that they need to look around and change, man. But it ain't changing. You know that. It's not changing.
Well, yeah. And again, I this whole thing with that was just more along the lines of, you know, I don't know that they I understand guys are always looking at the game and wanting to change things about the game, wanting to do all this. And I know they think it's silly, but I can't imagine anybody that's ever been asked to steal a base that doesn't think that, you know, they kind of acted like, well, what would it change? And what would it change? And I'm like, what do you mean, what would it change? It would absolutely change a major part of the game of baseball. You know, this guy says, well, we don't fake people out in other sports. Why we don't stop teams from faking other teams out in other sports. And I'm like, it's completely different.
This but what's faking?
You know, well, that's what he says. You know, you should be able to – sometimes you should be able to come straight out of getting the sign and just going. And sometimes you should stop. And I'm like – It's the words in the thing. It's about deception. You just listen. Here's the deal. If they want to go that route, that's fine. But just do it knowing that you're eliminating the running game. If that's what you want to get out of baseball, then do it. It's that simple.
The only thing I got to say about that is let's do it. The only reason is because you put things even with the pitcher. You let the hitter wear guards.
Well,
you can't pitch inside, so let's even it up to the pitcher then.
Well, I will say
How about this one? You cannot have the catcher go up to second to the pitcher and change signs, right? You cannot have that happen because you have a visit, and it can cost you later. But you can have the runner at second base telling the signs to the hitter. Now, you explain me that one.
Yeah, it's nuts. Well, the other part was, too, we already have a game where they're trying to figure out how to appeal to more fans. Fans love offense, but they also said they ought to be able to quick pitch. Now, if you really want to take offense out of the game, let pitchers quick pitch. If you know anything about hitting, the number one thing, every one of these guys at the major league level can hit. Though some of them are better at repeating, some of them are better at adjustments, and that's what makes players great. But the number one thing you have to have to hit, especially at the big league level, is timing, okay? Start quick pitching hitters, and it'll really be over. It'll be over. I can't even imagine who's coming up. Let's speed up the game and let's have a bunch of 1-0, 2-1 games. Is what I'm just blown away by this being okay. Anybody that thinks this is okay, anybody that thinks, oh, what's the big deal about quick pitching? Well, get in the box. Get in the box with a guy that throws 95 with a splitter, with a nasty slider, whatever. Get in there and let him one time do this, let him another time do that. And let me tell you something. It was already the hardest thing in the world to do, and now you're going to not even give the hitter any type of chance whatsoever? Come on.
That won't happen. You know why, Jimbo? Because MLB doesn't want Mike Trout to hit 210. Because MLB doesn't, and I'm saying names. I'm not.
No, you're right, though.
Mike Trout is a Hall of Famer. I get that. I'm just throwing names.
No,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm not dugging anybody. So MLB cannot afford. MLB was going crazy when Bryce Harper was hitting 210. I tell you that. They were sweating bullets. I was like, what's going on with Bryce, man? Let's have him going, man. We need these guys to be hitting 330. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can have Altuve hitting 240. We need Altuve to hit 330 for our own good in our league. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
But you will never hear the MLB say something like, oh, dude, we need Bumgarner to pitch a 1-0 game right here because he'll put us up the hill. You never hear him say that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So they're already making it easy on – not easy. They're easier on the hitters. They're already doing that. And now these – come on, let's face it. Let's make them even it up with the pitching. You know, if you're going to have 6 visits, well, tell the runner not to give away signs at second base because that's usually why we go up to change the signs. You know, so tell the runner not to do it, not to even look at the catcher or whatever. You know, I don't know how, but because that's the game. For me, I love the old school game. I love giving up signs. It's my job as a catcher to give the signs that are not easy to pick up, to work with my pitchers and say, hey, we got to use this because this one, they ain't going to pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But if you have a pitcher that is not smart enough and he goes, first sign, and if you shake first, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. But that's not their problem. That's you for being dumb enough not to change your signs. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Things like that, just make it even for everybody. If you're going to wear a guard, you're allowed to brush them back or something like that. I don't know, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, just make it even. Just not make it a one-hitting league type of league, and that's it.
Well, as I look at where we're at now, I just thought that was interesting. But you know, let's get on to some Cardinal talk here. Obviously, I want to take a look at this fascination with not spending money because it's just too much. And can you imagine this? And can you imagine that? So I've been having some conversations with some people lately, and I want to talk about that a little bit today. I want to get your thoughts on the amount of money being spent, and obviously a player. You know, you're not. It's not like you're so far removed, but you know the money wasn't being. Let's face it. Every 10 years, we're at a whole nother level of money being spent. So I just want to get your thoughts on it as well. But before we do, I want to remind everybody: check us out at twobirdsandabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there. It's Christmas time. If you do your Amazon shopping through our website, it helps us with our producers Brian Crock and Andrew Allen. We'd greatly appreciate it. You can find us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us on Twitter and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. We're curious what you have to say. Our big push is always Facebook. Just go to Facebook, get in the search bar, type in Two Birds on a Bat, find our page. We're going to ask you to make sure you like the page. Click invite your friends. We'd love to have them be a part of our page as well. But more importantly, when the shows come out, now in the wintertime, they're a little not as scheduled. But the newest show, when it comes out, is usually tagged by 5 or pinned by 5 o'clock. We're going to ask you to like it, throw a comment on it, and share it, more importantly, so that we can reach more Cardinal fans. You know, we've been giving away some autograph memorabilia that we had gotten, compliments of Benji and Yachty and all the gang at m4byyachty.com. So you're eligible for that as soon as you've liked the post, comment on it, and shared it. Happy to have you guys join us, too, as part of Instagram as we try to build our community there, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, you can find us online at media.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet, but now home to the streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download that for free on your mobile device today. You're going to love it. It's sleek. It's handy. The new version's out, and it's really awesome to handle. And great music and some stations by some celebrities and things like that you guys are going to enjoy, you know, what they're listening to and things like that. So, again, that's Yo Radio for free, available on your mobile device from the mobile app store. Special thanks, of course. Before I go on, I want to thank GatorsBaseballAcademy.com for their continued support of us in the winter. Their role, and I see it firsthand, their academies and classes and training is going on daily, both in the Missouri location and their Illinois location. They've got all this stuff going on to help your young player be better. Learn more about what they offer, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. As I just mentioned, they have the Missouri operation, and now they're moved over to Illinois as well. Gators Baseball Academy is their prep program for high school players looking to push their game to another level, and some of them live out a dream of playing in college or possibly playing pro ball. But you know, their four pillar system is second to none. The people that they put in front of your kid means a lot to them, and how they go about doing that. They are looking for players for next season that are looking to challenge themselves, as always, get better, or maybe try to reach a new level of their game. To learn more about that, again, go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, thank you for your continued support. We can't thank them enough for being part of the show. With the holiday season upon us, catering is a big thing. If you have an event that you need catered, check them out. It's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. I believe they have the best barbecue in St. Louis. I think my friend Benji Molina and Steve-O would agree as well. Open till 7 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now delivering, so give them a call and find out if you're in their area code for delivery. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Tell Mike we said hello. Benji, I have to ask you a question. Okay, you played in the game. You know, you had a 13-year career. You know, you made a nice living. You know, you didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars like some of these guys. There's a lot of money in this game of baseball. Do you look at it as it's one-sided and players make all this money, or are we all fully aware that the owners are making a whole bunch of money?
Oh my gosh, Jimbo, the owners are making a ton of money. Why do you think the salaries keep going up? It's just because obviously they're making good money. The salaries are not up because of any other reason other than they're making the money, so they're sharing a good amount of money with the players. It's just how it is. They're making good money. The money, well, I don't believe it's a problem, if you ask me. I think they have to manage it. That's one thing. Yeah, I get that. They have to manage their money, and they don't want to do it like, you know, they don't want to waste it. Or I get that. You know, I'm down with that, because if I were an owner, I don't want to waste my money. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like have to worry about wasting it. I want to spend it so wisely so I make more money so I can keep doing this. So I get that. I understand all that. But talking about money in baseball, man, it's not fair for a lot of people. There's even the low-income teams that get money from the big income teams. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
Kansas City and Pittsburgh and
yeah,
all those guys, Tampa Bay, were getting money from the big money teams. Do you think that in any case the teams are not making money, you think they're going to agree to that? No, man, they're making enough money. The money here is not the problem. The problem is, do I want to spend it on these guys? Do I want to do this? Do I want to make sure that I do want to sign a Bryce Harper to $300 million, a Stanton or somebody? That's the question. It's not the money. Believe me, Jimbo, it's not the money. It's the question of, do I want to do that or not?
Well, and that's where I'm at on the whole Bryce Harper thing. Listen, I'm not stupid. I understand that when you start talking about giving a guy $35 million a year and you're locked into him for 10 years or 12 years, and if, God forbid, the thing doesn't work out, man, I mean, that's just an albatross that, you know, you look at, and listen, I'm not here to make this a Dexter Fowler bitch session, but the reality of it is we're hung with Dexter Fowler and that was only $85 million. Imagine being hung with a guy that's $350 million. You know you can't move Dexter Fowler. Nobody wants Dexter Fowler, but who the hell would want a guy that's owed $300 million that's awful? Now, the reality of it is these people get paid a whole lot of money. We aren't dumb. Bryce Harper is a really good baseball player. Is anything guaranteed? No, it's not guaranteed with anybody. So what does that mean, since nothing's guaranteed? You're never, ever going to have a player that you offer a top contract to? So what are we going to do? We're going to you have risk with every kind of player, so it's okay to have risk if it's only $100 million? I mean, at the time, we gave Matt Holliday a whole bunch of money. That could have not worked out, and at the time, that was a lot of money. You have to take risks sometime, and you do it based off past performance. Now, the Cardinals don't like to pay for past performance. See, that's the thing with Bryce Harper, folks. While you are paying, while the price is escalated because of past performance to some degree, it's also escalated because he's 26. And what does that mean? That means he's probably got 4 or 5 really strong years ahead of him in his prime, his athletic prime. So this is an opportunity to not get stuck trying to pay for a guy's past performance when he is getting older. The whole thing kind of, rubs me the wrong way, only from the standpoint of, I don't understand why people care if a group that owns the St. Louis Cardinals, and let's be frank here, let's just say their profit last year was $200 million. Okay? Let's just say you signed Bryce Harper and he cost you $35 million. And let's say you didn't make one more dime because Bryce Harper was on your team. Do you really think $165 million? I mean, that they couldn't live with $165 million in profit versus $200 million? That's number one. But let's not be naive. If Bryce Harper's on the St. Louis Cardinals, listen, I'm not saying that they would directly make $35 million more a year. That's not my point. My point is they would make more money. What that number is, I don't know, because I don't have privy to their books and all this kind of stuff. But my point is, they would be a more exciting team. More people would come to the stadium. More people would spend money. So they would incur money. Yes, jersey sales or when jerseys are sold or whatever, it's a fund that the whole league shares. But the way understand this, the St. Louis Cardinals have shops in their stadium. Those shops buy those jerseys from somebody and then resell them at a profit. So, yes, the Cardinals would directly affect by having Bryce Harper on the St. Louis Cardinals because more people are going to buy stuff. Okay? Listen, in the end, the way this thing works is be good, go to the playoffs, make more money as a result of the playoffs, may have more people come to the stadium, and for the St. Louis Cardinals, have more people come to games, walk across the street and spend a whole bunch of money at something that they built and that they own. I don't understand why this is so hard to figure out. And let's please not forget one thing here, folks. Okay? And I know I don't even know if Benji knows this or not, because this is from a while back. The St. Louis Cardinals were bought by this ownership group from the brewery, who really just wanted to get rid of them, for $150 million. That included parking garages that the Cardinals then in turn sold. And basically, at the time, almost got their money back that they spent on the team. Now, make no mistake about it. I know that over the years, the St. Louis Cardinals have invested money back into their team. So I don't feel like whatever. But they've made money every year, too. So think about this. $150 million. They almost got that initial investment back by selling parking garages. This franchise now is worth almost $2 billion. Why do you think the franchise is worth almost $2 billion? You do not have to be a rocket scientist to know that they're making a lot of money. They can afford Bryce. Make no mistake about this. They can't afford Bryce Harper, and they can't afford Paul Goldschmidt, I promise you. Okay? Do I think they should spend over the luxury tax limit? No. From a business standpoint, I don't know that I'd do that. But they should not be a team that's hung at $160 million. They should be closer to that $185, $190, under the luxury tax threshold. So you're never going to convince me that it's a bad idea for them to spend money, especially a team that is starving for some relatable talent to the fans. Benji, your thoughts.
Jimbo, we have Miami that spent $300 million on Stanton. Think about this. Miami, which they were one of the lowest, if not the lowest, attendance in this year. And I had it. I should have kept that list. They were one of the lowest fan base in the history of baseball, and they had a $300 million guy. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not the money. It's if they want to spend it or they don't want to spend it, right? That's what we're discussing here. They can afford Bryce Harper and they can afford Machado if they want to, but do they want to? That's the whole biggest question here. Or if in their head, it's a smart business move, or it's not. You know, that's what they're thinking. They know they can afford them. They know they can go ahead and do whatever they want with them, and they can go ahead and sign Bryce Harper if they want to and pay so-and-so amount of money. They'll make that money in a heartbeat. They'll make that money back in a heartbeat just by having that type of player in your team. Just don't get confused. If you sign Stanton for $300 million, you're gonna get that money back no matter what in other ways. So it's or more. So the money's not the issue here, Jimbo. We can tell the fans that the money's not the issue. The issue here is if they want to do it, if they want to improve their team, or they want to improve with you know the average player. And they can believe they can do it like they did last year. They didn't go out and got anybody. They just got Greg Holland, which it didn't work out. I get that. But in the trade deadline, they didn't get anybody. And they said, no, we can do it with this team right here. We can do it. We will do it with this team. And they believe that. You see what I'm saying? So if they believe things like that, then we just got to sit in right away. But
okay, so you're right. So last year, their attendance was under a million. It was 800,000. But for years, for like over the course of 5 years, they basically averaged about 1.7 million. They had a year where it was 1.5. I want you guys to think about this. 1.7 million was their attendance for the whole season. Okay. The Cardinals double that in fan attendance. Okay.
And plus they have the outside deal.
Well, I'm not even there yet. I want you to think about this. The St. Louis Cardinals have double that attendance, and now they have a massive TV deal. The Miami Marlins sold, what was it, a year ago? For $1.2 billion. And when that was being negotiated, we're talking about a team with an average attendance of around 1.7 million. $1.2 billion. In what world do we live in where we think the Cardinals are not making a whole bunch of money? Now, I want to say this, because I don't want everybody to think I'm like, oh, well, number one, I have always said this, and I will continue to say this. The St. Louis Cardinals should absolutely make as much money as they can, and deservedly so, do so. I do not begrudge people that own things from making a lot of money. Number one, they take risks. Number two, they're committed. Number three, that's what's wrong with that? Who wouldn't do that? That's not my point. And again, I think people are taking some of the things I say sometimes the wrong way. They absolutely cannot sign Bryce Harper if they don't want to. This has nothing. Do I think they owe it to anybody? Well, there's a fan in me that feels like they owe it to me because I feel like I support them. That being said, they can do whatever they want. I'm not saying they have to do anything. All I've ever said is they can. Quit acting like they can't. That's my point. I don't care. Listen, they would have a much easier time convincing me that it's a bad idea to sign Bryce Harper for a variety of reasons than anybody's ever going to convince me that they don't have the money. See, people...
No, well, we should get that out of our heads. We should, all fans should get that out of their heads. It's not about the money. Believe me, they have the money and they make good money every year. It's all about, do they want him? Do they want to invest that way or they don't? I mean, it's very simple.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Why do you think teams, when he, like the Milwaukee Brewers, everybody thought they don't have no money, right? Everybody all of a sudden said, man, they don't make that much money. They were the lowest, one of the lowest teams, you know, they don't have that much money. And they went out and signed Lorenzo Cain. They traded for Yelich, which is going to get paid. They went out and got all these guys that cost money, Moustakas and all those guys. And all of a sudden, they don't have the money? You know what I'm saying? Like teams like low, like Kansas City and all that, you know. And they have money. They make money. So don't be fooled if you are a fan. It's not about the money. If they want to make it happen, if they want to get into that investment or they don't, that's just the bottom line.
Right, and that's the thing. So, like, if John, like, you know, I'm not going to have a round table with John Mozeliak or Bill DeWitt, but the and Gersh. But the reality of it is, if they want to sit here and say, Jim, listen, would we like to have Bryce Harper? We'd love to have Bryce Harper. Who wouldn't love to have Bryce Harper? If I could sign Bryce Harper to a 5-year deal and give him $40 million a year, I'd do it in a minute. The problem is Bryce Harper wants 10 or 12 years. He wants us to commit to this and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, it just doesn't seem good long-term for a franchise. Plus, we have
I was a former player, Jimbo. If you give me 10 years, that's what I shoot for. I'm secure in my life, right? I shoot for 10 years as right. a player. I'm very happy to take 10 years and – $400 million, whatever it is. I'm very happy to do that. But as a business, we have to put our business cap on, too.
Right.
These guys, Mozeliak and Gears, they're very smart people. They're not dumb, man. I mean, I know people want to. They might not be the smartest guy in baseball, you know, how people say, but they're very smart in business. They know what they're doing, man. So if they believe 10 years... And they might not be correct either. I'm not saying they're correct. I'm saying, but they're very smart. But they might not be correct. But 10 years, and they're looking for a player for 6 or 7 years, that's not bad. That's not horrible to go out and say to Harper, I have 6 years, I have 7 years, or 6 years with an option. You can't be mad at that. Because 10 years, it's, come on, man. Really? So... these guys are very smart, and if they think they can fit Harper or Machado or whoever it is into a 6-year, you know, deal, they will. They will, believe me. About the money, they have it, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, we never know for sure what's going on. All we know is by past actions what they're doing. We can criticize all day long. You know, we can say we were right about this or we were wrong about this. We can do all that.
We should have a show just to see what happens after we sign a player.
Yeah.
Not us, but in baseball.
Sure, you can look at it across the board. A lot of times it does, you know, that's the facts. Okay, there's a lot of times it doesn't work out. It really doesn't work out.
You make a push for Harper. You have it all winter. Harper. Then you sign Harper and it don't work out. I doubt it because he's a stud. But I'm just saying,
right.
If it doesn't work out, then you have to live with that. Then you should be okay. Like everybody wanted Haaland. And we got Haaland and it didn't work out. Now everybody's criticizing for signing him. I'm like, really? Like we wanted him. Oh, they should have signed him in spring training. I don't give a crap when they signed him. They did sign him. And they thought he was going to work out. And he was a great sign. So those are the things that we as fans, we need to have in our heads. We have to be prepared for all that. Look, when they signed Brett Sissel, it was lights out, right? 4 years, and we're like, whoa, 4 years to a lefty? A middle relief lefty? Specialist? 4 year deal? And what happened? It didn't work out. It haven't worked out yet. How the heck did that one work out? And then you go out and sign these guys that are older and end up not working out, and you end up with the young bullpen and all this stuff. We have to be prepared for all that, too. Colorado wasn't prepared for Davis to fail or Brian Shaw to fail because they were the studs right there when they signed them. So, I mean, those things happen, too. You just wish that your signing works, and that's it. You know, you just hope so.
Yeah, again, I'm looking at the whole thing, and I'm just – I just can't help but wonder, you know, we as fans – I guess – how do I say this? I think about the one thing that I heard John Mozeliak say at the dinner I was at last year, and it'll haunt me forever. But it shouldn't haunt me because it's reality, and that's make no mistake about it. His job first and foremost.
It is what it is.
Yeah, his job first and foremost is to make money for the DeWitts, and they are running a business. That is something that it, you know, rather than hide behind it, it is fact. Now,
why did you think he went from GM to president?
Because he made him a lot of money.
Why?
Because he made him a lot of money. He made him a lot of money.
Yep, that's exactly why he's there for.
So, you know, I guess as I look at it, I shouldn't be shocked by it, but I guess, see, we as fans, I don't think can fathom the amounts of money that we're talking about in reality. I think we can think about it as far as what it is. But I will say this, and it's kind of my own devil's advocate of my own argument, and that is, I will say this, just because somebody makes $200 million a year, it isn't like $35 million isn't a lot of money. It's an extreme amount of money. You know, it's an extreme amount of money.
But just think this too, Jimbo, when they offer $300, they're only paying $150. Kind of, you know, with the taxes and
The player's only getting that, yeah, but the team's paying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yes, but they also get, you know, some tax things and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's not always the whole thing. It's what I'm trying to say.
Right. And, you know, again, I can't, you know, it is hard. There's a part of me that in one breath says it's hard for me to get mad at somebody for not wanting to lock into a guy for 10 or 12 years, because I think we've seen enough that it is a big risk. But here's, I'm always going to come back to this, okay? I'm always going to come back to this. You have to look at yourself and be realistic about a few things here. Number one is this. I'm going to go through this whole thing, and I'm going to talk about this era only because we've got a lot of people that listen to the show that can't even comprehend the 80s and 70s. So let's look at this organization and what's happened. So when this group bought into the Cardinals, they were awful. And they brought in Tony La Russa, and they started to make a change here, and they started to go out, and Walt Jocketty did a great job of going out and acquiring talent for minor league players that, let's face it, never did much. Okay? He made some unbelievable trades. He brought Mark McGwire here. He parlayed a career season from Kent Bottenfield and a good prospect in Adam Kennedy into Jim Edmonds, right? And then we traded probably one of the most underrated players in baseball the last 20 years. To be frank, I believe this. The most underrated player in baseball the last 20 years, we traded him for a centerpiece in Scott Rolen, and we came up with the MV3, and then all of a sudden Albert Pujols comes along. So we rolled this thing, and that player I'm speaking of is Placido Polanco, who I'm telling you is the most underrated baseball player in the last 20 years. Go look it up. Go look up how good Placido Polanco was. Unbelievably good. Okay? So now all of a sudden, and again, as a club, sometimes, I'm not going to call it luck, it's just reality. You get a once-in-a-lifetime player that comes through your organization, and I mean takes you to a complete another level. I'm not even talking about on the field from a talent perspective, because the St. Louis Cardinals have won without Albert Pujols. But Albert Pujols changes who you are as a club. It changes your fan base. It changes everything about you. Okay? So, listen, he wasn't taken first overall in the draft. He was a later round draft pick. He was a guy that we started hearing about, and then all of a sudden burst on the scene, and then he's on the team. And we all know the story of Bobby Bonilla doesn't pull a hamstring at the end of spring training. Albert Pujols, who only knows, right? So my point is, here we go. We have that. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. And what do teams have to do? They have to go out and they have to take risks because they don't have that. Guess what? We are in that position now. Am I blaming the Cardinals because they haven't developed an iconic player? I don't know that you can blame them because it is so volatile.
But you cannot blame the Cardinals for that, Jimbo, because usually we have been really good that we don't pick in the first 10 picks.
That's right.
We don't pick first 15 picks most of the years. So because we've been so good, we've been average to good, you know, like up high and winning a lot of games and a lot of we had successful seasons that we cannot pick before 15 pick. How do you want to find a Correa? How do you want to find a Lindor? How do you want to find a player like a number one pick and the number two overall picks? How can you find that if you are a good player? I mean, a good team. You can't do that. You have to tank the season like we all know Houston did. Tanked a lot of years to get – how many they get? Three in a row? First-round picks overall or something like that? Come on, man. So we got to be thankful as a fan that we had that good of a team that, and then we still good picking up after the 15th pick. And we still good. We still pick up some good players that became really good players. That's all I'm saying, man. We have to be so thankful for that. It's hard, man. It's really hard that we are not in the top 15 picks, and we still have the success that we had with the Cardinals.
Right. So if you think about, and again, kind of what I was saying is, they got a once in a lifetime talent they didn't even take. Now that happens. Like look at Mike Piazza, I think was in the last round of the draft. I mean it happens. I get that. But what Benji's saying, what I'm saying is that, you know, you look at some of these players that are around the league, and some of these guys. I mean, it's Corey Seager, as he mentioned, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, some of these guys. With the change in the game and with the scouting and the analytics and things like that. You know, a lot of these top picks and a lot of these guys that are signing these international deals, they have a much better idea what they think they're going to be. That being said, the St. Louis Cardinals, if you look in their farm system, okay, they don't have that guy. Now, I know that everybody's ready to anoint, everybody thinks that, that Gorman is going to be, that guy. Okay, well, number one, he's 19 years old now. Okay,
nobody knows that, Jimbo.
That's right. Let's pump the brakes a minute here. Let's chill out for just a second here, okay? Do I hope he is? Well, sure I do. But come on, man. Listen, number one, if you've said to yourself out there, well, we can't sign Machado to play third base for 10 years because we got Nolan Gorman coming up in a couple years. That, my friends, is a hope and a business decision. That is not a I know what's going to happen here. Because I can tell you right now, if you want to put some money on Nolan Gorman ever being what Manny Machado is, I'll put the money on it right now. Now, that's a dumb bet. for you. It's a smart bet for me because these things very rarely ever work out the way you think they're going to work out. And that's not me being smart. That's reality. I you know who I use?
Why do we think that always the first round picks get traded, Jimbo? Why does it happen all the time? Because they draft you, but that doesn't mean it's going to work out. That's exactly why. They see the player, okay, this is my first round pick. Let's go face it. Okay, let's go have him in the leagues. And it usually doesn't work out. Why do you think they trade him most of the time? It's because they don't see any future in them after they sign him. He doesn't get better, or he doesn't get he doesn't advance as quick as you thought. I mean, it happens all the time. Oh, he's traded for these first. Look at that guy from that got traded to the Seattle Mariners. And don't get me going with the Seattle Mariners. That's an embarrassing for MLB to allow that to happen. But anyway, that's another show. But Crawford. What has Crawford done?
Nothing.
To be mentioned like a top prospect. Top prospect is that guy that you gave him $1,000 to sign in bonus, and he's hitting .330 in the A ball. That's a prospect to me. Not a prospect because he was first round pick. That's not a prospect. Just because you're a first round pick doesn't make you a prospect. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let Crawford. And don't get me wrong, I want Crawford to succeed. I'm not taking it against him. I'm just saying example of a prospect for these major league teams, a site for a prospect for a baseball player, for a guy that's a baseball player.
No, I agree.
I am a baseball player. And I know a prospect is that guy that you give $1,500 to get out of wherever, and he's killing it in Double-A. But you're not going to give him a chance because you have a prospect, first-round pick, that's hitting .210, and he will hit .220, but that's your guy because you give him $1,000,000. You see how unfair that is?
Yeah.
That's crazy,
man. No, I agree. You know, he's an example of exactly what I'm talking about. He's drafted in the first round in 2013. He's been labeled as a top prospect for years. And he's never done anything that I would look at and say that guy's a game changer. So again,
a prospect, dude.
And I understand. And I understand that they've got that they're just trying to put some of these guys. But I mean, you know, listen. If we had Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Tatis Jr., or Eloy Jimenez, or Robles, or Tucker, or Senzel, Brendan Rodgers, Bo Bichette, those guys are legit. You know,
because they've done it.
That's right.
Legit. But if you get Guerrero Jr. and he had a .210 season in A ball, do you think he's a prospect just because he's a bloody son? No. I that's what I'm trying to say to the fans. Not because you call him a prospect, he becomes one. You know what I'm saying? Like Carson Kelly was a big prospect, but he only hit as high as .280, I think, right? Something like that. So he's a prospect. That's fine. But don't tell me guys like that and then the guy, the shortstop, the Puerto Rican shortstop that we signed internationally. Oh, he's a big prospect. A big prospect. He's hitting .210. He's hitting .190 in leagues down below. How the heck is he a big prospect? You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. No, I hear you. So anyway, back to bring the whole thing full circle, the reality of it is this. If you have that guy, if the St. Louis Cardinals had one of those types of guys, okay, if that happened, okay, if that happened, all right, I'm here to tell you, okay, I am here to tell you, there is no doubt in my mind, okay, there is no doubt in my mind, if you had one of those guys and you didn't want to do something else, I would say, okay. If you don't want to do that, that's fine, because we have a guy that legitimately looks like that quote-unquote guy coming. We don't have that. So this is why I really don't have any situation where I don't see that this thing wouldn't help us to some degree. You know what I'm saying? Bryce Harper makes a huge, huge difference.
It will help in every aspect of our team. Think about it. Every single aspect. The only aspect that it might not help if he gets hurt. That's it. But if he doesn't get hurt and he plays the, even when he hit 240, let's put it that way, you put him in our team right now, him or Machado or Paul Goldschmidt, whoever you want to put one of those three guys in, you put him in our team, and it actually we become the guys to beat in our division just for that guy, even though we need to fix up the bullpen. But let's not get me going on that. So if you put those three guys, one of those three guys in our club, automatically we become better, man, in every single aspect of our game, of our team.
Yeah, this whole conversation really today I love the fact that Cardinal fans have identified guys that they think can help us. We can sit here and have a conversation all day long. I can talk to all the people that I really enjoy on social media. I see them say, I like this guy, I like this guy, this guy. My initial thought sometimes is I agree with that. I don't like that. I don't know why he thinks that. Or I can see where he's going here. I'm not saying I agree with. Or you know what? I didn't think about that. I think that's a great idea. That's the fun part for me. I like all of that. Even if I don't agree, I like it. The point is, the one thing that I can't handle is nobody's worth that much money. We don't have that kind of money. We don't. And I had a little fun with our friend Josh Potter about the economics class. And I'm here to tell you.
And then other teams do it.
That's right. I'm here to tell you, if Bryce Harper can get $35 million a year, he is 100% worth $35 million a year. Okay? Now, you can have a fundamental difference with the whole, well, teachers make this and baseball players. Listen, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I understand that conversation. That's a different kind of conversation. Okay? This is a capitalistic society that we live in, created by the greatest country in the world that we live in. And the truth of the matter is, you are worth what you can go get. And there's a little something called supply and demand, okay? Teams need guys that can do what Bryce Harper does. He is a once-in-a-lifetime type player that is a free agent at 26, okay? Is Mookie?
Jimbo, it happens in real life every single day.
That's right.
You work for CBS for $20 an hour, and then Walgreens go get you for $30. Are you going to stay in CBS? It happens in everyday basis, just the amount of money. Of course, we understand that. Like you said, it's a different ballgame. There's billions of dollars we're talking here when an owner are making billions of dollars, then they have to spread out the bigger portions of it to a player. I get it. But when you're talking about a guy that works at Walgreens getting 20 and then CVS come to you and say, hey, man, I'll give you 30. You're a good worker. Are you going to go for the 20 or the 30? I'll go for the 30, man. You see what I'm saying? So it goes in everyday basis. What changes is obviously the billions of dollars that these teams make a year and you know, all the revenue and all that stuff they make. I mean, that changes so high. But it happens every time, man. I had a cousin that was working for Eaton Factory making $18 an hour or whatever it was, 16, 18. And the Westinghouse called him up and said, hey, man, you're a really good mechanic or whatever it was. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I'm here and I'm close to home. And he said, well, we offer you 24, 25 an hour. And he's like, what? For real? And he went out to the 24, 25 because it was a better job. And you're like, what the heck? It happens every angle. It happens in Starbucks. It happens in dealers, whatever you want to look at. The only change is, obviously, it's the amount of money. It's huge in baseball and any sport.
Yeah, I look at the thing and I say to myself, hey, I think the St. Louis Cardinals have some talent. I think they have good young starting pitching as I look at them. And we'll finish with this because I know it's time to go. But number one, as I look at the team, I think Colton Wong is a good player. I would love to see him follow up last season by hitting well this season, bringing that defense. I think Matt Carpenter is not appreciated by guys like me sometimes. The guy is way, way better than guys like me or anybody else give him credit for.
He is good, but we cannot afford as a team, and this is very serious. He's very good, and I'm a big fan of him, and I told you the only thing he doesn't do for me is running the bases or whatever. But for me, Jimbo, we cannot afford to have Matt Carpenter have 3 or 4 months off in a year.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think the option there. But so you look at him, Paul DeJong, he definitely played a ton better at shortstop last year than I thought he could, and I'm happy about that. I'm still not sure what he is yet. We'll see. I think Marcelo Ozuna is poised to have a great season. I sure hope so. I love Harrison Bader. I hope he hits better than I think, but the reality of it is this: we have some stuff like that. Then what we have, and we have some good young starting pitching, but then what are we really missing? If you listen to everything I just said, what are we really missing? I can tell you, we're missing a number three hitter. We're really missing a number two hitter, okay? And we're missing bullpen. So you find me a way to get better at those things, and I'll be happy. So, again, I finish with this. If it's Paul Goldschmidt, then it's Paul Goldschmidt, okay? But if it's Paul Goldschmidt and you give me nobody in the bullpen and you give me Dexter Fowler hitting second and playing right field, I mean, we're marginally better than we were. Are we good enough to win a World Series? Well, anybody can get hot and win a World Series. But the reality of it is, when you've missed the playoffs for three straight seasons and you're used to battling for playoffs every year, getting in, competing, I'm not sure it's good enough. But then again, hey, you still got to play the games on the field, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Jimbo, bottom line is we have to go over two teams without counting Pittsburgh that play good against us and without counting the Reds who could beat anybody at any moment given time. So that's the bottom line. Can we go over the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cubs? I don't care about wild card. I don't care about the other divisions. I want to win our division because it makes it a lot easier for us to be in the playoff, just concentrating on that. Now, if at the end we need to be the wild card, I'll get it, but that's okay. But to begin a season thinking wild card is crazy. I have to put a team out there that can compete and beat the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs right now. That's my team. And I don't know if we have that right now with the team we have in paper right now. So that's the biggest issue. That's the biggest question that the organization have to look at. Do we want a fourth year missing the playoff, or do we want to make a move with these big guns guys out there and in the bullpen and then make a run with the Cubs and Milwaukee and fight for the division title? That's the big issue here, man.
Well, we'll see what happens. Like I said, the main gist of this conversation today, because my hope is that we're going to have some exciting conversations about some additions, maybe some subtractions to the roster here with the St. Louis Cardinals. But I just went ahead to get off my chest the whole money thing, because let me tell you something, folks. If you've ever been inside Busch Stadium, I've been fortunate to be underneath it and in there. There's a little room in there, and it's under lock and key. You have to be really special to get in this room. And the reason you have to be really special to get in this room is there's a machine in there that prints money. It just prints it. It just prints it. You walk in there, and the money is just flowing out of this machine. Okay? So don't worry about the St. Louis Cardinals. They've got plenty of money. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And I say that and honestly mean this. I do not begrudge them making a whole bunch of money. Good for them. If you're out there and you're listening and you make a whole bunch of money, good for you. If you are not making a bunch of money out there, the chances are you would like to make more money. Go make it. Just like Bryce Harper wants to make more money, just like everybody wants to make more money, I can tell you this. The St. Louis Cardinals make a whole lot of money, and they want to make even more money. And I believe that Bryce Harper will help them make more money. All right. Sounds good, my friend. I appreciate you joining us. Why don't you get out of here? I know you got things going on. Hey, I wanted to tell you two things before you go. Number one, how's your daughter doing?
My daughter is feeling better. She's having a couple problems with the medication. It's really strong. But she's doing great. She'll be fine, and we always keep praying for that. And I see her with the better spirit every day, and which is all we're looking for. The medicine is tough, but she needs to move around, and she's in pain. But hey, listen, like I told her, 3 months from now, you won't even say this. You won't even be going through this. You'll be happy. You'll be in good shape. You're gonna do a lot of things that you probably couldn't do before. So we're excited for that, you know.
Yeah. But no. That, doing... I would say this. I've thought about her. It breaks my heart any time a kid or anybody really has to go through that kind of pain. What I think is great is all the fans out there that are sending good thoughts and well wishes. That's got to make you feel good that you've really become part of this community.
Yes, I really can thank anybody enough, everybody enough for all the prayers, for all the well wishes for my daughter, for our family, and I can really, really, all I gotta say is God bless you, every single one of you, that took their time to say a prayer for my daughter, because this is a very serious surgery, and a really hard recovery. So thank you so much to everybody that has said or shared a prayer for her and our family. It means the world to us, and may God bless you all, man. Seriously, I cannot say thank you enough.
Well, my friend, I appreciate it. I can't thank you enough for being part of being part of the show and always being good to us. The other thing,
hey,
I
hang in there with me.
What's
hang
that?
Hang in there with me, man. You know, I always wanted to tell you and the guys, you know, just hang in there with me, because it's really, sometimes it's hard with me. Some things happen, like yesterday we couldn't do the show.
Oh my goodness!
We had a setback. We had to be in the emergency room for almost half a day. So.
Oh my goodness! Don't you ever give that another thought. Listen. Here's the deal. I also wanted to say this. Congratulations to you and Polo are in order. It sure looks like, if reports are correct, your Spanish broadcast has done amazing things. It looks like they're talking about having you guys do even more games next year. The fans are awesome. And I do want to say this. You mentioned Nelly earlier. I think it's cool. I think it was Polo that mentioned you used to, your walk-up song used to be Air Force Ones by Nelly.
Yeah, and Number One, and You Are Number One. I love Nelly, man. He's one of my favorite artists. And for him to be doing recruiting Harper, I mean, it was awesome, dude. It was awesome.
Well, I tell you what, I just wanted to send it. You know, you and Polo is one of my favorites. I love him. We like to go back and forth a little bit on Twitter. He's fun. And again, I've enjoyed getting to know him through you. But
now we hate him. Now we need Tatum to recruit Harper.
Yeah, that is what we need. But hey, listen, I just think it's great. I hope, I don't, are these addition of games, is this official, or is that what they're working towards?
No, it's not official. Nothing is official right now. They have to work through the budget. They have to work on what they want to do as a team. We're working for 60 games right now. We might be a little bit higher than that. Who knows? But even if they think 60, it's a big improvement from 39 last year. So we still want to go at it. I don't care how many they do. It'll be a good thing. So we're just working on it, man. We're still working with Dan Farrell, and Carol, Selena, and all of them for more games, right?
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm happy to hear that for you. I know the fans will be glad. It's always good for us if you're around here more. So I can't tell you how much I am happy about that.
It'll
so
fun.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, well, hey, Adam Smokehouse will be glad that we're around more too. So, hey, listen, let you get out of here. I know you need to go take care of your daughter. I know the fans appreciate it, and hopefully the next time we chat on Thursday, maybe according to reports today, maybe Paul Goldschmidt's a Cardinal by Thursday. Who knows?
And hey, who knows? I'll take him, defense and hitting. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend, I'll see you soon.
All right, go Birds, man.
All right, that is my man, Benji Molina, on the M4byYachty.com hotline. We want to thank him for joining us today. And again, I mean that, you know, prayers obviously to his daughter. But, of course, congratulations to he and Polo, as it looks like the initial reports are that they're going to up their Spanish broadcast next year. And it's funny, I really enjoyed what some people had sent out, and that was they were really the people love to listen to them even if they don't speak Spanish. I think I told this story a couple years ago. My son and I were on our way home. He's a high school baseball player, and he's going to some colleges and visiting and doing some things, and he attended a camp at a college, he and a friend of his. I took him there. So they did their baseball camp. We were on our way home, and I was listening to KMOX, and Yachty, I mean, as soon as Yachty hit the ball, it was a home run. I mean, you could as soon as they, you know, you hear my, hey, you know, Shannon. I immediately flipped over so that we could hear Benji and Polo, and the kids got an absolute kick out of it in the car. Didn't understand a word they were saying. They got an absolute kick out of it. It was so much fun. So I'm telling you, it is an exciting thing, and I'm happy for them. Two tremendous guys. You know, again, never played a game for the St. Louis Cardinals on the field. I mean, Benji was a coach, and Polo obviously had been in L.A. for a while as an announcer. But both guys, you feel like they've been part of the Cardinal family forever. So just tremendous guys, both of them. Happy to be friends with both of them, and really just an honor to know them. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget, I hope you enjoyed the conversation today, but don't forget to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's free. Do your shopping at Amazon. We'd appreciate it. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us, we're going to follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Click invite your friends. And, of course, when you see the pinned post, make sure you've liked it, commented on it, and shared it yourself, and then you're eligible for the autographed memorabilia that we've been giving away throughout the offseason, and we'll continue to do so. Also find us on Instagram, Two Birds and a Bat Show, and as part of lineupmedia.fm, now home to Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device in the mobile app store. It's free. It's a wonderful new streaming platform that you're really going to enjoy. That's Yo Radio. Want to thank our partners, as always, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, as I mentioned earlier, located both in Missouri and Illinois. Their camps, their training, off-season stuff is in full swing. If you want to learn more about it, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Always looking for talent, always looking for good people, too. So if you're interested in upping your game, check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Get a hold of them today for a personal tryout. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, Watson Road folks, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, open till 7. Now delivering, give them a call. Find out if you're in their delivery area, and if you need some catering for some holiday parties, give them a call as well. That's Adam Smokehouse. My man Randy Green, thank you for your continued support. InnovativeCompanies.com, construction, heating and cooling, electric, and now plumbing, all underneath one umbrella. They can take care of you from start to finish. He's got 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman, and when he shakes your hand and looks you in the eye, you know it's going to get done. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. InnovativeCompanies.com is the name you should know and trust. Thank you very much for your continued support, Randy. It means the world to all of us. I want to thank our groups out there that have supported us since day one, Rally Squirrel, Nate McHenry, a big Cardinal fan. We love Nate, home of the Rally Squirrel Club, of course. Don't forget Mick Light with Art City Media and his large group. To my friends Chris, Gino, Crash, Ron, everybody over at Cardinals Nation 24/7, it really excites me to see more and more people getting in tune with all the things that they're doing. And let me tell you something, these guys are hustlers. They're getting tremendous guests on their shows. I got to tell you, I'm just impressed. And I've talked to Benji about it. I know Benji's getting ready to appear on a show with these guys. I've talked to him about it 100 times. These guys are doing it right. It's straight from the heart. They love what they're doing. They're passionate about what they're doing. And they're really inclusive. They're trying to get more people that want to be involved in this stuff to come out and have some fun. Sometimes, you know, you get a bad rap if you do this, do that. Their thing is, hey, listen, we're just here to have fun and talk about what we all love, and that's Cardinal baseball. And, you know, opinions are, you know, I can tell you right now, everybody's got an opinion, right? So let's share it and have some fun with it. It doesn't have to always be so damn serious. And that's why I love these guys. Cardinals 24/7, Cardinals Nation 24/7, I'm telling you. Team of Rivals podcast, you know, all the stuff that they're doing over there. I can't think enough of them. And we've got a great working relationship with them. I'm very happy for that. I'm very happy to support everything they do, as, again, I think everything they do is great and above board. So great work by you guys, as always. To my friends Linda and Vicky that run I Am a Cardinal Fan, Yes I Am, and of course fans of Yachty or Molina, two of our favorite groups, keep it up. You guys do a great job. St. Louis Cardinals crew, you guys are awesome. We love your group as well. To the Cardinal Freak, thank you for your continued support. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals. I love all the groups out there, especially, you know, anybody that really takes the time to communicate with us. It means a lot to us. For all of us here at Two Birds on the Bat, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.